ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नेश्वरस्य शुभं दत्ते
स्वयमहिम्नि स्तुतस्य च
By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and therefore by giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because the living entity is not actually the enjoyer of the material resources, his attempt to lord it over material nature is, at the ultimate issue, frustrated. As a result of frustration, he desires more power than the ordinary living entity, and thus wants to merge into the existence of the supreme enjoyer. In this way, he develops a plan for greater enjoyment. When one is actually situated in devotional service, that is his independent position. Less intelligent men cannot understand the position of the eternal servant of the Lord. Because the word servant is used, they become confused. They cannot understand that this servitude is not the servitude of this material world. To be the servant of the Lord is the greatest position. If one can understand this, and can thus revive one's original nature of eternal servitorship of the Lord, one stands fully independent. A living entity's independence is lost by material contact. In the spiritual field, he has full independence, and therefore there is no question of becoming dependent upon the three modes of material nature. This position is attained by a devotee, and therefore he gives up the tendency for material enjoyment after seeing its faultiness. By discovering the faultiness of his desiring to lord it over material nature, and therefore by giving it up, the living entity becomes independent and stands in his own glory. Since time immemorial, the living entity in contact with the three modes of material nature in this material world is trying to be the enjoyer, trying to be the Lord, trying to be independent, and thinking that the idea of servitorship means bondage or enslavement. So many times when a devotee talks in his natural devotional vocabulary in the presence of a materialistic person, and we say, "I am your servant," people think that you are demeaning yourself. Why you are calling yourself a servant? Why you are putting yourself in such a humiliating, embarrassing position? After all, in this world, everyone wants to get ahead. Everyone wants a higher position. Everyone wants recognition. Everyone wants to be master. And to the degree this is the case, to this degree we are bound by the frustrations and anxieties of material existence. In this way, the more we advance in material life, thinking we will become independent and enjoy through the process, factually just the opposite takes place. We are bound, we are enslaved, we have to suffer. but such persons who are bound, enslaved, and suffering because of their false ego, when they see someone aspiring to become a humble servant, they think that that person is a useless, rejected failure in this world. And they preach to that person in so many ways that you should not be like this. You should not take this spiritual life so seriously. After all, you will not be successful. Successful in what? Successful in self-torture. That's all. We think we become successful because we have money, position, power over others. But the more money we have, the more position we have, the more power over others we have, if we're attached to it in egoistic purpose, the more we are fearful and frustrated. Because the more you have, the more you want, and you really are not the controller. That's the bottom line. And the more you think you are, the more you're frustrated when you can't control. So therefore, real independence is simply to surrender and be controlled by Krishna. Krishna, you are the supreme controller. You are Ishvara Parama Krishna. Sometimes people think that they are God. Actually, everybody is a God. Everyone is Ishvara. Ishvara means God. Literally, controller. Everyone has some power to control. So in this way, we are all part and parcel of God. Mama evam so jiva loke. And therefore, we all have that independent nature of wanting to control like God. But our liberation, our freedom, is when we surrender that independence to the will of God. And our bondage is to the extent that we want to enjoy separate, independent of the will of God. So therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Yani sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati kamyame yasya jagarati bhutani tashani shapashito mune. That what is day for a devotee of the Lord is night for a worldly person. And what is night for the devotee, the self-realized soul, is the time of awakening for a materialistic person. They are two opposite perceptions of life. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam this conflict between material vision and spiritual vision. In the story of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad, Prahlad was simply aspiring to be a humble servant, and Hiranyakashipu was simply aspiring to be the controller and the enjoyer. And what was the result? Two absolutely opposite visions of life, of what is the goal, of what is good, of what is right. In the school of Sanda and Amarka, the school of Hiranyakashipu, they were simply teaching the students, very much as we're taught in our schools today, how to be very expert at lording it over material nature. Diplomacy, cheating, how to simply get ahead and feed one's mind and senses with more and more gratification. And the ways and the means to be successful in this regard. And Prahlad, his concern was detaching himself from all the things that he was being taught to attach himself to. And therefore there was a great internal struggle. There was a battle between the father and the son. So we should understand that the material society is always in the vision of being enjoyer, controller, and lord. And spiritual society is always the goal to be the humble servant, to surrender to the will of God.
Therefore, in the Bible, Lord Jesus said, if the people of the world accept you, that means you're not following me. If they reject you, that means you're following me. We want the best of both worlds. But we have to understand what is the best of both worlds. If you want the praise of men in this world, you cannot be dear to God or his devotees. If you are dear to God and his devotees, do not expect the praise of men in this world. Because there are two opposite visions of life. So this is one of the greatest acts of sacrifice that is required to take to a real spiritual path. Of course, today, in the name of religion, in the name of yoga, people simply teach you to be a materialistic person, pay little money, give little charity, and do some meditation, and become God. But it is not like that. Taking to spiritual life means to declare war on Maya. It means to declare war on your own mind and senses. And to declare war on the basic principle that everyone is living within this world. Desire to lord it over for their sense enjoyment. So this struggle may sound very, very difficult. And it may sound very unpleasing. After all, we're living in this city. There's over 10 million people in this city. Who am I to declare war against all of this? It's a very powerful machine of Maya. But factually, the more we hear about Krishna, the more our faith awakens in Krishna, and the more we realize that God is great. And that this entire material energy before God is insignificant. Daivi heshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mamivam ye prapadyante mayam eta tarantite. Krishna says in Gita that one who surrenders to me is under the protection of my divine potency. He is no longer affected by the three modes of material nature. This is the goal of life, simply to become dear to Krishna. You can please some of the people some of the time. You can never please all the people all of the time. But if you please Krishna, your life is perfect. If you water the root of the tree, ultimately the whole tree is satisfied. But without nourishing the root, the whole tree will dwindle and die. And we may think that if I become dear to Krishna, then what about all those people who I love so much in this world? What will happen to them? They will be very disappointed with me. I will make them too much unhappy. Because they're expecting so many great things from me. They're expecting me to be a tiger among men, to be successful, wealthy, to be like everyone else, to be a normal citizen of this material world. How many people will be disappointed with me? How many people, their hearts will break? If they see me trying to please Krishna instead of trying to please them. In this regard, we have to situate our life on the principle of knowledge. If you love someone, you'll do what is best for them. If a child is sick and you give him just the food that increases his disease, the child will be very happy, very pleased with you. But you are simply killing that child. If you give him medicine, the child will scream and hate you. But you're showing love because you're doing what's good for the child. There's a story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about a devotee named Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he was a very, very humble and gentle devotee of the Lord. And he and his wife were very anxious to invite Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to their home for prasad. You see, there's a difference between the way a materialistic person welcomes a saintly person and the way a spiritual person welcomes a saintly person. When he was inviting Lord Chaitanya, he was not thinking that Lord Chaitanya will bless my home. He was thinking that I have an opportunity to give him happiness. Today, people, they approach sadhus with the idea of what can I get out of him. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he had a much higher outlook. His idea was, how can I please the Lord? How could I please my Guru Maharaj? How could I satisfy him? So he was very anxious to have him come to his home. And he and his wife both, they cooked for so many hours. In fact, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the wonderful feast that was cooked, he said, Sarvabhauma, how have you possibly cooked such prasad? It would take 10 men, 10 days to cook this much prasad, and you only invited me this morning. You've only had a few hours. How could you have possibly cooked so much? And Sarvabhauma said, It is not I that have cooked it. It is he whom it was prepared for that prepared it. In other words, you are the doer, my Lord. He said, you cooked all of this. I only used my feeble hands to collect the ingredients. In this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was giving us a very good instruction that whatever we do in our life, we should never take the credit. Because factually, Krishna is the supreme doer in all circumstances. He has given us our intelligence. He has given us the body to work with. He's given us our eyes. He's given us all the ingredients we work with. Whether it's our business, whether it's our family, whether it's cooking, whether it's singing, whether it's dancing. Whatever we do, we should recognize the fact that Krishna is the doer. And based on our desire, he does through us. When a criminal goes out and robs a bank, he can't do it without Krishna. Krishna is the doer. But because his perverted desires, Krishna is empowering him to do perverted things. And for a devotee who is desiring to serve the Lord, glorify the Lord, giving the highest charity of the Lord's mercy, he should never think, I am the doer. All we can do is desire. And Krishna will assist us. He will help us. But he is the supreme controller. We have no power without the mercy of the Lord to do anything, to think anything, to speak anything. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya prepared such a wonderful, wonderful, opulent feast that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw it, he was so happy. He said, oh, Krishna has eaten so nicely today. How did you possibly cook so much? He said, no, my Lord. He who it was prepared for has prepared it. I only collected the ingredients by your mercy. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I am a sannyasi. Please just give me a little boiled rice and a little steamed vegetable on a plate, and I'm very happy to see that Krishna has enjoyed everything. And Sarvabhauma said, no, 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 not like that. He said, this is all for you. How will I eat? This is a whole room full of prasad. How will I possibly? And Sarvabhauma said, ah, you are speaking like this, but I know in Jagannath Puri, your form as Lord Jagannath, which is none different than you, you eat 56 offerings a day and each one is as big as this, or bigger. So you kindly just take little of everything, as much as you like. So Lord Chaitanya started taking. Sarvabhauma invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu several times to his house and cooked wonderful prasad for him in this way. But one day, Sarvabhauma, his son-in-law, happened to be visiting. And this son-in-law, whose name was Amoga, was very envious and always inclined to finding faults with others. This is the most terrible attribute of the human mind, is the desire to find faults in others. Lord Jesus said, before looking for the speck in another person's eye, you should take the mountain out of your own eye. We are very much inclined to looking to the faults of others and speaking of them, glorifying the faults of others as if we had five mouths. But if anyone finds some fault in us, we're very anxious to defend ourselves. And if we know of some fault, we want to keep it very hidden and secret from the world to ever see. This is the tendency of envy. A humble person is always anxious to admit faults. And even if he doesn't have faults, he sees faults in himself. We see all the great saints throughout history. They consider themselves so fallen, so lowly, although they're perfect in every way. And those who are fallen and lowly consider themselves perfect in every way. This is the difference between material life and spiritual life. So Amoga, he was simply an envious person. He could not tolerate seeing anyone getting respect above him. He wanted to tear down anyone who was getting more recognition than himself somehow or other. Therefore, when he saw that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his father-in-law, who was such a respectable and famous person in society, when he saw how nice he was serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became burning with envy. And Sarvabhauma, he told his wife that you serve the Lord, and I'm going to stand at the door with a stick to make sure this rascal Amoga, our son-in-law, does not come in and disturb the Lord with his blasphemies. So Amoga was keeping a distance because Sarvabhauma was guarding the door with a stick. But at one point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was finishing certain preparations, so Sarvabhauma ran in to get him some other preparation. And just at that point, Amoga ran into the room and he said, just see, this man's supposed to be a sannyasi. He's a rascal. He's a hypocrite. He's a nonsense. He's simply eating all kinds of opulent foods. He's simply taking to the renounced order of life just to satisfy his tongue and his belly. He's a bogus person, and he's condemned, and just see. And when Sarvabhauma, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just very humbly, silently listening to what Amoga said. But Sarvabhauma was not very humble in a material way. He took his stick and chased after Amoga, and Amoga ran away, and he chased him a long distance. But because Sarvabhauma was old, he could not catch him. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they came back, and they fell at the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said, our life is ruined. We have invited you to our house to give you pleasure, to glorify you, and you've come to our house just to be offended, just to be blasphemed. We are condemned. Our home is condemned. Our lives are condemned. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, no, no. Actually, what he's saying is right. I shouldn't be eating so much. He's actually my friend. Don't be so angry with him. And Sarvabhauma and his wife, his wife was in the other room beating on her chest. She was calling out, "May my daughter be a widow," which means, "May this Amoga die for the offense he has committed." Their only attachment was attachment to Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya, he saw how much disturbed these two wonderful devotees were. So just to pacify him, he said, "Bring me more prasad. Why are you thinking all these things? I'm still hungry. Bring me more prasad." So in this way, they were very happy to bring him more, and he ate so much. In this way, they were satisfied. But very shortly after this, Amoga contracted cholera. And he was laying on his deathbed. It hit him so fast and so hard that within practically a day, he was dying. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this news, he said to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Why did you not tell me that your son is dying of cholera, your son-in-law?" And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "For the offenses he has committed, let him die." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "No. You may be saying this, but in your heart he is very dear to you. So bring me to him." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went into the room where he was laying, moments away from death, suffering terribly. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with great compassion and sympathy in his eyes, he placed his lotus hand on the heart of Amoga. And he said, "Amoga, you are born a Brahmin. You are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma. Your heart is meant to be the residence of Lord Sri Krishna. Why have you allowed this terrible demon of envy to take control of your heart? Rise, chant the holy name of Sri Krishna, and free yourself from this great suffering and bondage." And right at that point, Amoga leaped from his deathbed and began to chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he was completely purified, both materially as well as spiritually. Physically, his body became in perfect health, and spiritually, he became a pure devotee of God just by chanting the holy name in the presence of Lord Sri Chaitanya. And then Amoga was thinking, "What have I done?" He took his own hand and he started slapping himself in the face as hard as he could, and his face was all red and swollen. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What are you doing?" He said, "All the terrible things I've said about you, I must punish myself." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, you stop this." He said, "The fact is, because you are related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you were delivered to the highest position of spirituality. For no qualification of your own, according to your own qualification, you should be going down to the lowest, deepest modes of ignorance. But anyone who is connected to my devotee, however sinful and demoniac that person may be, I take special concern to liberate him." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned to Sarvabhauma and said, "My dear Sarvabhauma, because he is related to you, because of some natural affection you have for him, therefore it is my foremost duty to satisfy you by delivering all those who are near and dear to you." and Amoga became an intimate associate of the Lord and a perfectly self-realized soul. By the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who Amoga thought was simply a crazy fool. But in the end, it was Sarvabhauma's devotion that liberated him. And this is an eternal principle. Lord Nrsimhadev told Prahlad that 21 generations are liberated of all family members and intimate associates of my devotee. And Prabhupada describes in that purport that that means 20 generations of this family, but it also means 21 generations of all the families that your jivatma was living in for the last 21 generations. They all get liberated. That means hundreds and thousands of people are liberated if one person becomes a pure devotee of Krishna. So, what is the most loving, compassionate, generous thing you can do for those you love and those who you have loved in the past that you don't even remember? They all get liberated. Your mother, your father, your sisters, your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, for all your births, 21 generations past, they all get liberated. And future. Why is this? Because one who is willing to stand up against this material nature, one who is willing to accept and tolerate the ridicule of men in this world for the sake of God, becomes so dear to Krishna that Krishna naturally awards him this supreme benediction. But of course, if we make our society of loved ones primarily the society of devotees who support us and encourage us in our loving devotion to the Lord, then Krishna consciousness becomes very simple. It becomes very natural. It becomes very easy. United we stand, divided we fall. Srila Prabhupada used to say that anybody who thinks he could become Krishna conscious without intimately associating with devotees is dreaming in the greatest illusion. The material energy is so powerful, she will break us to pieces within seconds. And she's so expert at breaking us to pieces that we don't even know that we're broken. We think that we're very pious, very religious, we're doing very well. But we are simply living according to our own concoctions. Therefore, to create Krishna in the center of our family, to accept the family of devotees of the Lord as our intimate friends and associates, this is the first and most important principle in spiritual advancement. And to make that association and the discipline that is learned in that association the first and foremost priority of our life. All these tendencies to lord it over material nature, we must somehow or other tolerate and resist them and learn the humble position of servant of the servant in the association of the devotees. To come together regularly to glorify Krishna in his holy name. That is the supreme topmost goal of life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even in spiritual circles, if we make management and all sorts of other techniques for spreading our message, if we make that the priority, there will be so much conflict and competition and enmity amongst even the sadhus. But if these things are details, and the priority is simply to come together to chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then there will be love and trust. And not only will there be love and trust, but Krishna will empower all of these details of management to be worked out naturally. That is a fact. When Srila Bhaktipada was given instructions by Prabhupada what to do to develop New Vrindavan, Bhaktipada said, well, how do I do it? He said, just chant Hare Krishna. And he had so many questions, and the answer to every question was just chant Hare Krishna. Because if you're sincerely chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, then Krishna takes care of all these other things. And my question to you is, who is more expert, you or Krishna? As long as we think we're making the decisions, as long as we think we're going to work out the right, proper way, then it's in our hands. But if we simply come together to chant the holy names, and on a minimal level we discuss all the details, then Krishna will take care of the details. That is his promise. Ananyas chintayantomam yejana pariupashate tesham nitya bhayuktanam yogakshemam bahamyam. That for my devotee who surrenders to my will, and what is his will in this age of Kali? Cheto darapana marajanam, to chant his name. I preserve what he has and carry what he lacks. So this is the foremost secret of success in this world. This is the ways and the means to overcome the demoniac element within us, to lord it over material nature and being the enjoyer. By coming together in the association of sincere souls and entering into the divine kirtan of the Lord, chanting his names, and putting Krishna as the center of every aspect of our life, by making Krishna's name the integrating force between ourselves and all others, and between ourselves and all the things and the duties that we accept in our life. Our Guru Maharaj taught us nothing should be done without first invoking the name of Krishna. And then everything becomes auspicious. Thank you very much. So, I was discussing briefly about how Srila Prabhupada managed or instructed Kirtanananda Maharaj, Srila Bhaktipada, how to manage New Vrindavan by simply chanting Hare Krishna, putting aside all of the technical devices that often distract our mind away from Krishna. We have to do certain things, but it should never be out of proportion. The kirtan is the power that will empower us to be successful. So today we have a special guest, His Holiness Nityodita Swami Maharaj. And he has been very intimately working in so many projects of development of New Vrindavan for many long years. He started as a gardener. He was growing fruits and vegetables and flowers to offer to Radha Vrindavan Chandra. Of course, in those days, New Vrindavan meant the deities, the cows, and the gardens. There was nothing else. He was with the gardens, I was with the cows. It was a simple life. Gradually, as the community started to develop, he was one of the most instrumental persons in building Srila Prabhupada's palace. How it was built, nobody knows. Only Krishna. So Nityodita Maharaj will explain some of the practical
realizations that he has in this matter for the pleasure of all the devotees. Thank you very much. But you have to sit like this.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Bo. What a wonderful gathering. As Radha Swami was saying, I don't really know anything. And the development of New Vrindavan, it was not a material development, as Maharaj was explaining. It was a completely spiritual development. There was no expert construction workers. There was no expert architects or planners. So the standard of New Vrindavan, the real development of New Vrindavan in the old days took place according to the devotee's dedication to chanting the name of the Lord. So we should ask ourselves, what is the first thing we do when we get up in the morning? Are we putting the holy name of the Lord first? Or are we waiting until we can fit it into our schedule? If you put Krishna first, Krishna will put you first. Yayatam mam prapajante tam sataiva pajamyam. Krishna explains, as you approach me, I reward you accordingly. If you put Krishna aside for other important things, Krishna will put you aside. That means Krishna's in your heart. You can't remember him without his help. So if you put Krishna aside, it'll be very difficult to remember him, especially in difficult moments. And if you put Krishna first, then he'll put you first. He will appear in your mind, in your heart, when you need him most. So, the determined practice of chanting the holy name of the Lord is the groundwork, it's the basis, it's the basic training of our spiritual life. And throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, Krishna trains us up right in front of our very eyes with day-to-day disturbances, day-to-day temptations, and how we deal with that. How we deal with those temptations and those trying situations. That is the practical application of our chanting of the holy name. So we are racing all over the planet. We are racing all over this country. We are racing all over this city. Everyone is racing, never at rest, to try to experience something wonderful. The eyes are never at rest because the eyes are always looking for a form that's very attractive and very beautiful. You walk out on the street, there's so many forms that attract the eyes. The bazaars, the shopping malls, the different little shops. They're presenting and so many different forms to attract your eyes. New cars, new stereos, new clothes, beautiful people. searching out some nice sound that will ensure your happiness. Sound vibrations of how your money is being multiplied, or how you have promises of happiness in this world. Newspapers, the news, how the world is getting better, supposedly, or the situation, the political situation is changing. Our ears are always attuned to these things, but our ears are just dying for the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Our ears will be continually racing until we center ourselves on the beautiful name of Krishna. Our eyes will be so tired until we rest them on the beautiful form of Krishna. Our legs, running all over, will not be satisfied until they're dancing in tune with the holy name of Krishna. Even when one is at the point of exhaustion, when the sound vibration of the holy name comes into his heart, he becomes just like a child again. We see how old men or young men or tired men or women become just like children when they open up their hearts to the sound vibration of Krishna's holy name. So this is the basis of spiritual action. Spiritual action means to open up your heart to the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name. And then Krishna will act through you. A devotee doesn't have any actions on his own accord. A real devotee is not acting except like a puppet in Krishna's hands. You've all seen puppets with strings. This is the life of a devotee. And how do you become a puppet in the hands of Krishna? Open your heart to the holy name. Chaito Darpana Marjana. By cleansing the heart through this transcendental sound vibration, you give up this false conception of acting for your own welfare, your own benefit, and you learn to act simply for the pleasure of Krishna. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim. There's so many desires, we have so many longings, so much dreams of happiness in this world. But they're all useless if they're not in connection with the Lord's service. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, "My dear Lord, I have no desire to accumulate wealth. I have no desire for beautiful women. I have no desire for followers. I only want causeless devotional service, birth after birth." Any pure devotee who adopts these simple teachings of Lord Chaitanya, beginning with chanting the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, he becomes empowered like Prabhupada. Krishna wants to empower each and every one of us. Krishna wants to bring you home, bring you to your true situation of eternity, knowledge and bliss thousands of times more than you want to. So if you just take one step toward Krishna, take one step toward Krishna and just see how Krishna will respond to you. So, a devotee is not attached to anything in this world. But if Krishna gives him something, he'll use it for Krishna's service. Lord Chaitanya said, "I have no desire for wealth." But the spiritual master, we see, he's always wondering, where is the Lakshmi for this project? Where is the Lakshmi for that project? What is the projects for? If they're for the glorification of Krishna. So it is the transcendental right of the representative of Krishna to collect our devotion, collect our energy, The spiritual master is like the tax collector. A tax collector is collecting so much money and resources, doesn't use a drop of it for himself. He turns it over to the government to whom it belongs. Similarly, the spiritual master. He may collect thousands and millions of rupees, dollars. He may attract millions of followers. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want any followers. Spiritual master, though, he may attract hundreds of millions of followers. But those followers are not following him. They're following Krishna. Spiritual master is the transparent representative of Krishna. Therefore, he can collect millions of dollars. He can engage thousands of beautiful women. He can utilize unlimited amounts of energy for the service of Krishna. This is the real spiritual master. He's not afraid to act for Krishna. And this is the success of each and every one of us in our lives. Whatever we have, we should use for Krishna. If we have ability to speak, we should speak for Krishna. If we have some money, we can use it for spreading the glories of Krishna. If we have some influence, influence others to become Krishna conscious. If we have some charisma, some personal beauty or strength, use it to attract people to come see the beautiful form of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, come to the temple and associate with the devotees. So if any of you have been to New Vrindavan, you've seen the wonderful service rendered by Srila Bhaktivedanta. Every square inch of New Vrindavan reminds you of some inspired service to Srila Prabhupada by Kirtananda Swami Bhaktipada. And he picked up he picked up even rejected devotees. So this is the kind of compassion of the pure devotee, is that he sees something good in us. In fact, if the devotees hadn't seen something good in every single one of us in this room, none of us would be here now. Somehow or another, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, who are following in the footsteps of their spiritual master to show compassion, they've overlooked all of our faults, all of our pride, all of our nonsense, and seen something worthwhile. And that something worthwhile is a touch of sincerity in the heart. Just with a pinch of sincerity, one's spiritual life can begin. Shraddha tata sadasango. Just with a touch of sincerity, a touch of desire, if you associate with the devotees sincerely, opening your heart to hear the message of the Lord and follow those instructions, all the unwanted things in your heart will vanish. And your attraction, your natural attraction for God, and your taste for serving God will develop. And you'll want nothing else. There's no question of renunciation, just cutting off, automatic. You have to develop a higher taste. Therefore, the Lord is always inviting. You come. You chant the holy names. You hear, your ears will not be satisfied unless you hear the wonderful sound of the name. Your mind will not be satisfied unless you hear the absolute truth that's spoken by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita or the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. Your desire for sensual satisfaction will go in vain unless your senses are in touch with Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. Krishna is so kind. He's so loving. He's inviting us always to turn to Him. So that is always our choice, whether to turn to Krishna by accepting the mercy of the Vaishnavas and the devotees, or to run always to gratify our senses with sense objects. Krishna is the supreme sense object. There's nothing sweeter than Krishna's form. There's nothing sweeter than Krishna's name. There's nothing more enthralling than to hear the pastimes of Krishna narrated by a pure devotee. So this is always our choice, to swim in the ocean of eternal bliss, Krishna consciousness, or to beat our heads against the wall in material endeavors. So remember, it's up to us, it's up to you, it's up to me. Whatever you want, Krishna will fulfill that desire. He's in your heart, He's waiting for you. So don't waste any more time. Become more serious today. Take more advantage of this temple today. Take more advantage of the association of devotees today. And your life will become sublime. So are there any questions or comments? No time? So, whatever is next is next. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj Ki.